the series being the, well, we call it that ancient tree of darkness. A lot of the undergrounders talk about this black tree, this, I've had those draw it for me. It's kind of a concept of the locality and the roots and the development of the dark side. And there's a lot of things that go along with that. But we're touching this week on the counterfeit, the reality of that spiritual stream that has the agenda to go global, that has the agenda to go worldwide, and that's exactly what is occurring all around us. That's why we're in the conflict. Now, it will show itself in the political, economic, military. It'll show itself in the dismantling, destabilization, and all those things we know that's going on. We feel it in the air. We know the conspiracy's there. We don't trust the politicians. Yet, I come as a believer knowing the presence, power of God, and the agenda and the mission that God has. In the midst of all this darkness, God has a razor-sharp cutting edge that is Christ, His Word, the Spirit of God, and we need to have no shame in our unleashing the most powerful, life-changing, destiny-setting message about Christ. Let me tell you something. When I was a kid living on Lindsay Avenue in Akron, Ohio, we had to walk from where I lived all the way to David Hill Grade School. So in the mornings, my mother, of course, being a good mom, we would have on our flannel shirt, corduroy pants. We're talking now early 60s, guys. We would have our little heads that were shaved, you know, all of our hair shaved off, and that was easy for mom in the morning. We would have the flannel shirt on, the corduroy pants, and then a sweater. And then we'd have this great big old jacket. Big, thick jacket. Boots! Don't forget the boots with the metal clips. And maybe two pairs of socks and the shoes that we had to fight to get into those old boots. And then we had the big gloves. And then after we pulled, you know, the snow hat over our head, then we pulled up the hood from the jacket. She ties that, puts the gloves on, and we can barely move our arms. We can barely move our legs. We are like stiff little gingerbread boys walking out, my brother and I, walking out of the house like little, literally, we were layered with clothing and sweater and coat and scarf and hats and hood and all of that layering, literally, by the time we walked those, I think it was like 3.5 miles to the school. I mean, no doubt we were sweaty, we were tired, couldn't wait. Took us about 10 minutes, peel off the scarf, pull back the hood, pull off that hat, throw it on the ground, eventually unbuckle all those buckles, fight to get your shoe out, which it always came off your foot and stuck into the snow boot. Took quite a while. And to hang it up, then to get into the classroom, and to get a rest. Layered. We were layered. Have you ever been that way? Literally layered to where you can barely walk, that you can barely really move. I mean, utterly layered. It's very hard to get up when you fall down when you're layered that much. I mean, the layering does a lot of stuff. And primarily, it's hard to run. It's hard to do a lot of things. You basically, when you're layered like that, you just can't move. I'm going to talk about spiritual layering tonight. In the world that we live in, we're going to talk tonight and Survive to Thrive, this 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time show. We're going to talk about layering that has been going on, that some of you that are listening are under, and I want you to know that the more the layering, the less you can see, the less you can move, the less you can, you know, face towards heaven, towards the cross, towards Christ. So I'm concerned. Millions of Americans, Canadians, hundreds of millions worldwide, all throughout Europe, in Russia, everywhere, the New Age movement has grown. Now, yes, the spiritistic, spiritual, you know, kind of invasion occurred pre-Nazi Germany. It all leaked into the political, economic, military, and the conquest The conquest was, the conquest was there, no question about it. And after it all was defeated on that, you know, multinational but yet regional development, I mean, it wasn't really worldwide, but what is coming will be worldwide. That's one of the evidential signs of the end of days, globalism. No such thing as globalism unless you understand the inception. Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the Eros, there's inception. Derek and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio interviewed me last night, Monday night at the 7 o'clock hour, and we were discussing some of these things, and we were talking about the coming conference with Tom Horn, and both of Sharon and Derek will be there, and Jeffrey Radd and myself, and another pastor, Pastor L. And this is just a couple weeks away here in Canton, Ohio. I hope you're going to come. Hope you're going to be able to be here. And please attempt to make your way here. There's a website. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. And if you scroll down, middle of the page, scroll down where it says Daily Weekly Update, right there, Supernatural Science Prophecy Conference, Canton, Ohio, October 1st and 2nd. And you can click onto that, get the website, see. I mean, they even have all the listing of the lectures, the times, the meals involved, everything else. So we hope it'll come. Check out shatterthedarkness.net, the development of the series Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, or Becoming Powerful in Prayer, many other things there that are absolutely free, hundreds of downloads. So listen, as we gather tonight, you look at the world, I look at the world, and obviously, if you're listening to me, if you've been listening to Steve, or you're listening to a lot of others in the similar vein, it's because we're concerned. And we see things. And here's how I want you to know that I see. I see on, in the sense, of course, as a believer, the Spirit of God's inside. And I believe that as we walk in the Lord, He is giving us a heads up, a sense. And obviously, in the biblical prophetic revelation, massive revelation of the New Testament, of the Old Testament too, that we have this clear picture that Jesus gives, Matthew 24, Daniel gives in the book of Daniel, that we have throughout Thessalonians and 1 John and the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is unlike anything written ever in all of history. There's nothing that Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce or the Mayans, there's just simply nothing that comes close to that incredible revelation. Apocalypse Jesu Christu. It's all about the centrality of Christ, but what's going to occur in the midst. So to get a heads up about the greatest deception and the greatest destruction, God on an infinite scale, not like, again, Sylvia Brown or remote viewers even, in their finite connections to Akashic Records and seeing what they, on that side, want them to see. So taking again a look at these prophecies and seeing and then looking at the day that we're living in, it is understandable that we are alarmed, that as someone has called all of us, we're all called screamers. We're out here screaming about the end of days. And you know something? Back in the days of Noah, didn't he do that? Didn't he preach? Wasn't he out there doing the right thing? So listen, I want you to know that not only knowing this, but it involves moving out into ministry and knowing that that in the context of bringing exposure to this agenda that is so alarming, so vast, so encompassing that it steals lives, the deception, and that's why I say constantly, it burns my britches to see that real counterfeit powers are deceiving many. Real counterfeit workings and doctrines and supernatural things. So we're going to talk about the blinding. We're going to talk about the doctrine, the experience, the event, the enablement, the research, and then becoming vehicles. All under this layering that is meant to, on a evolutionary or on a sequential level, like the frog in the kettle approach, it is meant to literally spiritually cook the world. in layering it with another layer and another layer and another layer so it can't hardly walk spiritually, can't see, can't, you know, to layer it in preparation for a enormous reception of Homo Satanus. Now, I can imagine that many of you that are listening right now to me, and you understand Antichrist is coming. We can look at the little horn, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, or the beast, the Theron, as the book of Revelation calls him. That's how God describes. But if you go to old Hinduism, if you go to old Buddhism, if you go to the New Age movement specifically, if you go to the Mayan prophecies, if you go to all of that and kind of pull it all together, they are predicting an amazing, brilliant, spiritually evolved, supernatural being that will lead the world into an entire new age in every single way. Now, Alvin Toffler, in his book, The Third Wave, The Futurologist, not being a believer in Christ that I know of, but mentions how in Europe there is a Messiah complex. Now, this goes back to the 70s. It is deepened. It is broader. And it's not in Europe. I believe it's in Russia. I believe it's all throughout Europe. I believe it's in the Scandinavian countries. I believe it's in England. I believe it's in Canada. I believe it's here in the United States. I'm not sure about China. I'm sure there's perceptions of this. But the concept of the Messiah complex, this, you know, the Messiah, we want a savior, we want a helper, we want a political, military, economic, global environmentalist, we want all of this to be wrapped up in one person. So the Antichrist is going to be the environmental, the economic, the national, the global, the political, the military. He's going to be the quote, savior of the world. Now, he causes the collapse, of course. He causes the unleashing of hell to where it seems like the world is on the brink of annihilation, and then he and the regime steps in. Here we are to save the day. And it's a presentation of a damnable masquerade. It is the apex of deception in the face of humanity. And so many billions will be layered with the precursors that when it all comes down, they won't understand why anybody wouldn't embrace the Antichrist. Do we understand this? They will fight for him. They will kill for him. They will give to him. They will inform the system on anybody that doesn't. The surveillance society, the control society, it's all underneath our feet. Developing as I speak. Layers of darkness, the precursors to deception. Number one, if we're already lost without the Spirit of God inside of us and don't know the living Christ, the Bible says that that we have a sin nature, Romans 8, that's hostile to God, Romans chapter 1, that our thinking is futile and that our understanding is darkened. And according to chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, chapter 2 of Ephesians, that a behind-the-scenes prince of the power of the Eros, the immediate dense atmosphere around the earth, is operative supernaturally in the lives of those who do not have the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this eon, this age, blinds the minds of those who have not believed in Christ. The goal, so they cannot see. Well, the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon, the image, the exact visible representation of the invisible. He's the exact print. He's the icon of God. He is God incarnate. And so there is a supranatural layering. If anybody wants to say, who's the father of mind control? The prince of lies. The real battle goes back not against flesh and blood. I want to say this, though, just quickly, and this is something to chew on the side. All of the development in the area of splitting humanity, creating personalities, mind control technologies, doesn't come from God, does it? God is all about liberating the mind, bringing his presence back, and bringing spiritual and actual reality back to us. When it deals with the dark side, spiritually there is a battle to keep, maybe there's somebody listening that's lost, the dark side wants to keep you lost and then keep you supernaturally layered, blinded. It's the idea that a blanket is thrown over you. You know, if you're driving down the road in your car, 65 miles an hour on the expressway, somebody in the back seat reaches up, puts their hands over your eyes, what's the first thing that goes through? You know, that you want to kill them? That you want to reach around? You know, the first thing is you can't see. You want to put your foot on the brake. You have no idea where you're going to go. It's one thing to occur for 1 second. But what if they actually put their hands on your eyes and hold them there? You can't see a thing. You have no idea when, where, what, if you'll run right into a truck off a cliff. The absolute sheer lethal danger of someone in the backseat putting their hands over the eyes of someone driving 65 miles down the expressway, we know that is a physical reality, and it can bring multiple deaths and great tragedy. I am saying to you that the operative presence is doing just that with lives, putting his hands over the human perception. Now study it out, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God, small g, of this eon, this age, time period, living here now. He's not the eternal God. He's not the infinite God. He's here because we've opened the door and there's a specific time element. Even Revelation 12 says that Satan, he knows his time is short. So the concept is this dark presence through multiple demonic, you know, fallen angels everywhere. Hundreds of millions, no doubt. So in the collective work, active work of these entities, it's about putting their hands over the eyes of the heart. Now stop for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, 17, 18. The Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of God, prays a prayer that we should all pray. He prays that the eyes of our heart would be brightened, enlightened, so that we could epigenosis, know Jesus experientially better and better and better. That we could know the inheritance, that we could know the incomparable great power that God has given us in Christ. What does he mean? As he's praying, he's asking, by the means of the Spirit of God, by the means of the Spirit of God, he does this in chapter 3, too, that the Spirit of God in power would come in the inner man, thus causing an experiential sense of the living Christ, that we could then come to know the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, the breadth, the height, the depth, the length of it, with the purpose that we might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. He's praying ultimately that we experience the full magnitude of the presence, the power, the life, the wonder, the awe of God in us. Awesome prayer. So we read in chapter 1, he simply is praying, he says these words, that he prays that God would brighten, the Greek word enlighten, to bring a spirit, Holy Spirit enlightenment to the eyes of the heart. The eyes of the heart. That's the very place that Satan seeks to blind. That's the very place that counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, counterfeit experiences, events, enablements, counterfeit charismatic giftings, counterfeit antichrist fake saviors. That's what it's all about. They want to take and cover and influence and layer the eyes of the heart. Now, you do the study. You go look it up in the Greek. You go look it up well. You look at the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and look at this word. The eyes of the heart deal with the perceiving, sensing, capacity of our human construct. Our ability to perceive and experience and to know. It's like we can see from the inside out. The ability to, it's like I can say, well, man, I see the Lord. I perceive the Lord. I feel the Lord. I know His presence. I know His power. And He overwhelms me at times. When the Spirit of God operates that way, the Word of God will operate that way as you study it deeply in His presence. And there's an enlightenment, a brightening. It's as if God shines His light onto the full your ability to totally, listen, I've got a mouth, obviously. I got a mouth that is talking, but it's only so big and it's only so broad. I'm 6'2". I can only reach so high. I'm over 50, so I can only run so fast. I have certain capacities. In every human being, you have the capacities. You are hardwired. You are built to be able to know God. We were created in that majesty. We were created literally before Genesis 3, of course, to see and visually walk with God face to face. Do you understand how we've been robbed? Our sin, which opened the door to Satan's presence and operative blinding power, it's all shut down. You know, when I read John's Gospel, chapter 1, referring to God in Christ, Christ, here is God in human flesh, it says, He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him, recognize Him, perceive Him. But to as many that did receive Him, that did believe on Him, He gave them the exousia, the right, the power, to be born of the Spirit of God and to come into relationship. In the day in which we're living as believers in Christ, and that's who I appeal to right now, is to say that if you know the Word of God and you know what is where we are right now and what's next. Where we are right now is the apex of that evolutionary development, that frog in the kettle approach to cooking society spiritually. With every kind of counterfeit. Now, I'm going to bring the counterfeit out. This is part of the blinding process. The layering. The constant layering of the masses and of individuals. Number one, it comes by demonic teaching. Demonic inspired words. Demonic doctrine. You know the verse, Timothy 4:1, right? The Spirit of God warns, end of days, planos, imposter, seducing spirits. Where they're going to come with one goal, please understand the intensity of the goal. Their goal is to, if you're a football fan, you watch football players. I watched a game partially for a little bit the other night. The Saints and who was it? They were playing San Francisco. San Francisco just about whipped them. San Francisco played their hearts out. San Francisco came. They had a goal. You don't think for a moment the Saints or the San Francisco 49ers didn't have a goal? Could you imagine any of the players not playing in that goal, what the coach would do? The goal, you got to understand the operative, collective, unified goal of this encroaching dark presence related to dark entities to deceive many. Did you read about that in Daniel? Did you read about that in Matthew 24 when they ask about the end of days? How do we know? What did Jesus say? The first thing out of His mouth, don't let anybody deceive you. Matter of fact, if you understand the entire chapter 24, the number one issue is spiritual deception. End of days, how do you know the bulging of spiritual deception with the goal to deceive many? Now, you can read Matthew 24, see it off the lips of Jesus Himself. You can take a look at 1 Timothy 4:1 and see what the Holy Spirit, inseparable to Christ, says. And this is what's got to be in us. This is what we got to know about the end of days. So when you're at work, when you're with your family at Thanksgiving time, or you're out with the friends at a coffee shop and issues come up about, you know, Sai Baba over in India doing some healings, Benjamin Krim and the Maitreya, the big article that came out in USA Today, you know, years ago. How about the story of Jimmy Jones? What about the Way International? What about the Jehovah's Witness coming to your door? And what about the New Age movement going to a Reiki healing service or to visit a place that someone invited you that's going to have a channeler, going to channel an entity? Or your buddy's talking about alien presence and abductees. What about all that? What are you going to say? And what is your agenda as a believer? See, I'm going to tell you, right, if you're lost, I want to win you to Christ. I want to bring you to the Savior that I know. What's wrong with that? What in the world could be wrong with that? Well, I want you to experience the love of God, the person of God, forgiveness, His power in you. I want you to have the gift of eternal life inside of you. If I meet you and you're lost, I'm going to try all that I can to do to lead you to Christ. Hey, listen, let's take a few moments. Listen to Steve. We'll be right back. Hey, and this is Russ Dizdar right now, guest host, Survive to Thrive, the radio network, September the 21st, Tuesday night. We're going into the layering issues, and I just began with going over the issues that, listen, again, it affects millions. All that I'm going to mention as far as doctrine, experience, event, enablement, research, and individuals becoming channels or vehicles, this is true in government, military, economics. This is true in universities, on the streets, all around us. And it creeps itself, you know, it literally does, creeps into the church and brings effect into the body, because the presence is, there's a propensity, a drivenness, a drive. You and I do not realize the fury of that agenda. When I watched the 49ers come out and I saw the fury of their play, and they almost beat the Super Bowl Saints, they were playing to win, man. And I'm going to tell you right now that all the counterfeit spirituality, counterfeit prophecies, visions, dreams, all of it collectively, there is a passion to win. And the passion to win means blind humanity so they can't see Christ. Give them layers of experience, events, enablements. Involve them in interaction. Use them. And in the end, what? Now, I did say I would answer the question that many have written me about Todd Bentley and what occurred in Lakeland, Florida, and all the so-called revival, and what's occurring at Morningstar. You know, we have done research. We have interacted with some leaders, some individuals we thought were in contact. We offered to do Freedom Encounter and ministry. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Among us right now are hundreds of thousands of highly trained chosen ones that do infiltrate the church purposely. They do have real powers that come about or are evidenced by the demonic doctrine that can bring about supernatural experience, event, enablement, all kinds of things. And so there is counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, as we said in the early hour. Now, this issue of being layered by this dark side, by, for example, you get a little bit of false doctrine or you get a little bit of doctrines of demons and someone begins to believe it and hold on to it. You know how important that issue is? To believe any teaching, any doctrine inspired originally by demonic presence will be a doorway for demonic acquisition, attachment, and involvement. To believe their that's exactly what occurred in Genesis 3. Satan spoke doctrine, teaching. That's all it means, didache, teaching. He spoke the teaching and wanted to, that was how and what he used to get them to disbelieve God, believe the new alternative, and make an exchange. Now, the Word of God says in Romans, they exchange the glory of God for created things. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. We know the results. A hellish trail of tears from Genesis 3 all the way to this day. Now, that doctrine could be Alice Bailey's writings, Helena Blavatsky's writings. Clearly, as I went over a week or so ago, Sylvia Brown's, when I got her book finally and read it myself, I had no idea how intense she was against the real Christ, the Word of God, the body of Christ, and the shredding and the offer of a horrific, very horrific alternative, incredible doctrine of demons. And she acknowledges through the book that a spirit guide named Francine. See, when the Bible writers write, they're saying, like in the book of Hebrews, and the Holy Spirit said. It's all about the Spirit of God leading them. No question about that. Well, she talks about in her book, Francine. The spirit guide says, so it is, has everything to do with what you hear and what you believe. Now, if you are a believer, you can go to second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. When Paul is writing, he's saying to them that you have received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God that is operative in those who believe. That's the truth. That's the laws of engagement. You read about in Hebrews that that the word of God had no effect because they didn't mix it. They didn't believe it. You read about in James that we can hear the word, do nothing with it, deceive ourselves, and not experience it. Someone can hear the gospel and not respond. See, when the Spirit of God, the Word of God comes for your faith. He comes to lead you out of the darkness and then for you to believe in His truth, His testimony, His, well, Christ of God that brings, well, literally, that's how God then comes into your life and all of His works. Believe false doctrine or doctrines of demons. And yes, the demonic can get old. The demonic can leave. See, books. They wrote, I've got book of the years. I read hundreds of demons. This teachings and demon spirits. In every single case, they will push for a alternative view of Christ, the Word, and God, and then present what they want you to believe is an alternative, higher spiritual revelation, and engage you or engage anybody. And here's our difficulty, folks. Millions have. If you're a New Ager, you come to believe the writings that have been inspired by fallen spirits. They are here with the plot and the plan and the energy and the agenda. They are dynamically seeking to win human beings over. And so Jesus says it. The Word of God in 1 Timothy says it. We read it in 1 John. That the entire goal is to deceive many. Now that's what every believer should know. Is we're out evangelizing, you know, missioning the world. Well, stand and opposing a Christian. And anybody visualism today in Canada, America, on third world countries, going to each individuals who have listened to games that open news, ultimately, that, you know, it'll bring what I'm talking about, experiences. Layer population. Well, the overarching blinding, but it comes through number two, doctrines of demons, teachings. Matter of fact, if you're dealing with anybody or if you have an alternative spiritual belief and you're into something different, I guarantee you can trace it back to what you've read or what you've been verbally told, and that content being inspired by a fallen dark spirit with the goal, the absolute intense goal to deceive you. Now, that was the goal of the Tibetan over Alice Bailey, and it won. And it won the Ascended Master over Helena Blavatsky. It won over Paul Von Ward. So far, Greg Hines, many of the writers that we're listening to on worldwide broadcasts out there, they have been engaged in, Masons included. They have been engaged in. And embraced. And this is the problem in Catholicism, where you have the veneer of Christendom, the Christianity, you have political encroachment, you have syncretism, you have other doctrinal things that have been brought into, you have all kinds of other mixtures to where it's like, well, listen, I'm reading the Bible, but what is where does it say anything about a pope? Where does it say anything about this kind of a mass or Mary, a co-redemption? You know, so we're wondering where all this comes from. If it's not from the simplicity and the purity of the Word of God, you can be sure that encroachment of the dark side has come to bring compromise. If it can't totally defeat Christianity, the goal would be to corrupt it. If the enemy can't totally get you to turn your back on Christ, if he can make you stumble and crawl. So let me say the third thing in the layering. And many of you have had this. Many of you know people who right now have this. Supernatural experiences, but they don't come from God. Someone could see a miracle and actually feel it or have it done to them. Maybe they've gotten predictive prophecy from a seer, a psychic, or someone where it was, really inspired by a spirit. And you really believed it. You had an experience of it. You've heard it. You were fascinated by it. What about Reiki healing and you got healed? What about a visitation, a presence that came to you? What about a dream that keeps reoccurring? So there may be where somebody took you somewhere and you experienced a supernatural voice, engagement, miracle, something supernatural gripped you. But the problem is, if it didn't come from God, the grip will be hellbound. The grip will be a layering of darkness to convince you of the truth of the false doctrine. See, God brings signs and wonders to open minds and hearts. He brings the power of His Spirit. I mean, read Acts chapter 1 sometimes, where God gave many infallible proofs that Jesus was alive. I mean, there's many times God gives demonstration of his reality. The Gospel of John, the signs were all the supernatural signs that Jesus did were to point to his being the Messiah, God in human flesh, the Savior of the world. And they were meant to get people, like the Word of God, to believe on Christ. The dark side operates exactly the same way in counterfeit powers. The goal, cause people to be engaged with a sign, with a wonder, with a miracle, some kind of supernatural happening. It could be while somebody led you into meditation, something happened. Somebody led you in past life, and all of a sudden you got a vision of a past life and a voice and something came up, something like a revelation. It could be a remote viewer experiencing data coming down from the Akashic Records. Supernatural experiences that run contrary and are counterfeit, but absolutely real, counterfeit to God, do grip the hearts and the lives of millions of people. It literally is like another layer. Number four, what about events? I mean, what about events? Events that people can go to. If you look at the prophecies in the book of Revelation, when the false prophet has his ascendancy from the earth and begins to do signs where everybody is astonished, they are seeing them, they're gathered, and events are occurring. Let me ask you about the event of appearances of Mary and what she has to say. What about events in the sky that's our space brothers and the event of engagement with some kind of alien entity? What about an event like that? What about somebody inviting you? Like we had a realtor tell us he was invited to a home for a party. They had wine. Then they did a small, quote, little satanic ritual. I mean, a young boy, a skinhead that was drawn into a satanic ritual down in Columbus, Ohio area, same thing. He described in detail while he was there, petrified, but he was a part of it. How they sacrificed a little child. There were powers there. They spoke in weird languages. He wanted to get out of there, but he himself, throughout all that he was going through, when I engaged him, was deeply demonized and had a spirit that wanted him to kill himself, suicide. So the events, if you go to the events, I think some of those that are going down among the Mayan ruins, drinking the ayahuasca, desiring to be in contact with the spirits, have been blinded so layered spiritually that they believe that that's okay. And that experience in an event like this, an event of taking that drug and, opening yourself up, being at a how about a harmonic convergence? What about if you were in a gathering where they've had this worldwide gathering where everybody's to repeat the Luciferic invocation? That is really a direct call to Lucifer, calling him the Lord, the light, and so forth, and about his work in globalization and the New Age. Does that bring a layering? Yes. Does that bring another, I painted my house when we first moved here. I had eventually put on three coats in order to really actually paint it. It's an old house, nice, big, but it's old, and it needed it. But I had to go over it and go over it and go over it. And that's exactly the work of the dark side. To paint a person. Again and again and again. And events, spiritual events, events that open spiritual doors or bring spiritual, things into your life or something that a collective group believes together. Well, that event, and let me tell you right now, signs, wonders, and miracles, counterfeit ones, 2 Thessalonians 2, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles are not meant to be just individual. I mean, look at the opposite. Look at God and Pentecost. the sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire on their heads. The power of God fell upon them so strong, an ancient prophecy out of the Old Testament, they would speak in other languages, and the Medes, all these 18 other dialects. The people heard them praising God, speaking the wonders of God. They were speaking other languages, but the people, the Greek word says, they heard in their own dialect. It was an outstanding miracle. They were absolutely blown away. They're hearing the wonders of God in their own dialect. They heard the sound. They saw the tongues of fire. So the sign, the wonder, was meant to draw. What happened then? Thousands and thousands of people drew around. Pentecost was maybe 1,500,000 people there. And thousands gathered around because they heard the sound. They heard the commotion about the tongues of fire. They heard the languages. And as they all gathered around wondering, Peter, clothed and filled with the Spirit of God, stood up and said, "Men, listen to me." And then he preaches the gospel, quotes the word of God. The people are convicted by the Spirit of God. They want to, and so thousands turn to Christ. Thousands. Sign and wonder was involved. And to this very day, Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever, sign and wonder by God, by actual believers that believe God, that will step out in prayer. I mean, what is prayer? Ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock the door. You know what? I'm praying that God brings the most powerful sign, powerful wonder, powerful presence, powerful revival, in order to do what? Just like the book of Acts. Come to chapter 4. They prayed, power struck, the building shook. You don't think that was a sign, a wonder of God, where they are all filled with the Spirit of God and went out preaching Jesus again? And you find this all the way through the book of Acts. See, I'm not afraid because of all the counterfeit out there that we need to shut down all the supernatural. See, that's a stupid cessationist doctrine that came out, originally with Benjamin Warfield against the relics, the spiritually empowered relics of the Catholic Church. Now, do we not have the maturity? Do we not have the experiential maturity in the Word of God to be able to stand up and say, hey, listen, this is Christ, this is God, this is the Holy Spirit, this is the healing, this is the sign, this is the wonder, this is the charismatic gifting of God. And it's awesome and wonderful. And then over there on that side is the counterfeit giftings, counterfeit workings, counterfeit powers, counterfeit signs. The worst thing any Christian can do is to say, you know what, because of all the counterfeit out there, I'm going to back off into a corner and just be a quiet, sedate believer that just reads my Bible and sits in a corner. That, my friend, is not from God. That's the conclusion the encroachment of the enemy would love for you to have. God wants you to bust out of the fear, bust out of the trepidation. We read about it in Timothy chapter 1 that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, fear. You look up at the word, it can be translated cowardice. We have the Spirit of God of power, of love, of a sound mind, of a spirit-controlled life. And all I can tell you is that every believer that believes Jesus will do the works. Every believer that opens up to the Holy Spirit, giftings will be there for you to use. As I said in the earlier hour, and I hope that you'll get the 6 to 7 o'clock. If you didn't listen to the 6 to 7 o'clock Shatter Live, get the archive. Especially if you're a believer. Maybe take that archive, and I send it to your Christian friends. Leadership. You listen to it, you'll see why. The church should be the most supernaturally demonstrative, I don't want to say institution, but group in the people of God. I mean, we should be utterly living and breathing in the supernatural. We should. The book of Acts, angels came to help. The book of Acts, Philip is transported from one city to another by the power of God, and he didn't have to walk or take a plane or ride a bus or ride a horse. You look at the supernatural stuff in the book of Acts, and I'm going to tell you right now, today is no different. No matter if all of hell rises and ends up on your backyard, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. The power of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul said it very clearly. The Lord stood by. Who's bigger than Jesus? Hell combined, Satan in all of his fury, cannot scratch the foot of the glorified, eternal Christ who backs you, lives in you if you're a believer. Let me talk about this layering, okay? The blindedness already by Satan, number one. The demonic doctrine, number two. The experiences people have, number three. The events they go to, number four. The enablements. Oh, there are a lot of people out there that are getting enablements. Spirits can give the ability to project out of your body. Spirits can come and download revelation and data into your mind like Edgar Casey or like remote viewers today. Demons can unleash when you or anybody receives them by transference, by ritual, by opening, by meditating, by calling on them. The demons don't just bring powers, but they bring abilities, enablements. So individuals that are in the occult world, and I would say this is true about Benjamin Krim. I would say this is true of Sai Bob. This is true of clearly of the operative Jim Jones. But there's hundreds of thousands of that kind of leadership now. They have abilities. They can predict. Look at Acts chapter 16, a woman in a city that is overtaken by Nephilim, ancient Nephilim presence and a goddess worship. The whole city is under that power. And there's a little girl with the Greek word python, a demon spirit, giving her the ability to predict the future. Not accurately, but to give some predictions. And the dark side can do that. They can give individuals the ability to do that. So what does Paul do when they come? The spirit inside of her starts walking around following and mocking and saying, these are servants of the Most High God. Now, Paul was agitated because he knew the presence in her was not the presence in him. Eventually, you read Acts chapter 16, he turns around and just simply says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. And the python, the demon, left her. She could no longer do the predictions. And those who were spiritually pimping her became angry, created a riot, because they were going to lose money. Enablements. I'm going to tell you right now that Satanists that I know have enablements. I have met Satanists that can speak in other tongues, have words of knowledge, words of wisdom, that they have experienced signs and wonders, that some of them seem to be able to do something like that, astral out, engage with spirits, see things, conjure things, send things, all kinds of spiritual. They've got enablements, and in every level of enablement involves a demonic presence that gives the enablement. If you're one of those that have enablements that did not come from God, they are the layering and the precursors that will bury you spiritually, enable you to embrace the Antichrist, hate the real Christ, and lose your soul forever. Number six, research places. In the past, SRI, we have Ted Owens and the whole PK Psy Warrior, the GOAT Lab at Fort Bragg, the PsyOps within U.S. military, just like the Germans, just like the Russians, just like at the university, I think is what, Phoenix? Arizona? Sophia? Engaging all these people to want to get in touch with entities. What about, again, we haven't even touched the ufologist-alien connection and the interactions and the contact. And then becoming vehicles of the enemy and using that. Well, I definitely did not get to everything we wanted to talk about. I'll bring up the Todd Bentley thing maybe tomorrow night. You'll be prepared. This is Russ Dizdar. God bless you. Remember us, shatterthedarkness.net. This is Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Good night.